Penguin Random House Audio presents The Middle Finger Project, Trash Your Imposter Syndrome, and Live the Unfuckwithable Life You Deserve. This is the author, Ash Amberjay. The guest list, or people who are personally invited to listen to this book. Number one, anyone actively plotting their boss's demise. Number two, the woman buying the extra large bottle of Yellowtail after work. Not that I object. Number three, that adorable British girl I met in Quito one time who was so creative it hurt, but spent the rest of her 20s selling insurance. Number four, the woman on the internet who wrote, and I quote, "Each data entry keystroke was a nail in my self-esteem coffin." Number five, the people in the middle of the mall selling hand cream from the Dead Sea who are clearly of Olympic determination. Number six, Britney Spears. I got you, boo. Number seven, the entire customer service department of any company ever, except for mine. Don't you dare leave me. Number eight, the 22-year-old hopeful who went to that exciting entry-level marketing assistant interview only to come to discover it was freaking telemarketing. Number nine, the 42-year-old who stared at LinkedIn for 3 hours this morning trying to figure out how to reinvent herself after the divorce or the career change or the terrifying realization that time is slippery. And why are my boobs doing this? Number 10, the guy at Applebee's who overheard the grandmother telling her grandkids to stay in school, otherwise you're going to end up like that. Number 11, anyone who's seriously doubting themselves, who feels stuck, who lacks a sense of accomplishment with their work, who's jaded and uninspired, who knows they aren't contributing to something more meaningful, who has little opportunity to distinguish themselves, who worries they don't have a real purpose, and who cannot help but feel like their IQ is dropping by the minute while their brain cells shrivel into a mound of powdered feces. Number 12, anyone who has been through the hard and needs to believe in themselves again. And number 13, trailer park girls worldwide, because I am you and you are me. And together, we're going to prove the world wrong. Chapter one, the rules were made up by some guy named Ted who ate a quarter pounder for lunch and has a dog named Wedgie. Or, surprise, nobody actually knows what they're doing. God. Now there's a fun-filled topic. If we were really ambitious, we would just dive right into the most controversial subject imaginable, given that this audiobook contains all sorts of controversial ideas and it does not get any more polite from here. Now might be a good time to go fetch the vodka and maybe a defibrillator. Don't worry, this is not a book about God. Nor is it a book about Ryan Gosling, second in command. But it is a book about authority and becoming your own. It's not always easy to follow your dreams and ride off on this magical carpet made of sweet tarts and sugar plum fairies. It's not easy to trust yourself radically or make bold choices that other people will not agree with or live life on your own terms. It's not easy to roll up and be like, yay, I'm going to quit my job and be an artist, or yay, I'm going to go open my own bookshop, or yay, I'm going to skip around the Swiss Alps and make cheese in a loincloth and yodel in the afternoons and tell my overbearing sister to shove it. Even in an age when all of these options are more available to us than ever, most of us are basically just drifting along every day trying not to get cancer. But even when we do dare break the mold and try something new, the world throws us some serious side eye. Who does she think she is? It won't last. This is just another one of her big ideas. So in response to the world censure, we shrink. We second guess ourselves. And we secretly wonder if maybe they're right. Maybe we should play it safe and bide our time and be grateful for what we've got. Which, by the way, happens to be some of the world's worst advice. Being grateful for what we've got is why so many of us end up staying in dead-end jobs that have us licking envelopes inside a dimly lit six-person office in suburban Philadelphia. Definitely been there. Why so many women end up staying in relationships they do not want to be in. Why so many of us end up living lives that feel stale and dull and dreary and uninspiring. And why so many people end up resenting their every minute from the hours of 9 to 5, being mean to call center agents and rolling their eyes at babies and fantasizing about being hit by a tractor trailer and rushed to the hospital so they don't have to keep doing this crap. That was so me once upon a time. We are all trying so hard to be these level-headed, responsible, card-carrying grown-ups that we trade in our sense of adventure and curiosity and wonder and creativity in exchange for what we think is a secure and reliable future. Assuming that the more constipated your face looks, the more seriously you will be taken. Now that I'm wearing this sensible pair of pantyhose, everything is going to be just fine. Back in the day, when I was still a very good girl, I wore those same pantyhose and I drank milk and I never talked back to authority. In fact, I loved authority. What took me a lifetime to discover, though, is that authority only works as long as you trust that someone smarter than you is making the rules. Take my first boss, for example. Worship the guy. I was young and hungry, and he was supportive and encouraging and kind. When he spoke, it literally felt like I was receiving advice from the Dalai Lama. When he handed me my paycheck, he made me feel as if I just earned a gold medal. When I called in sick, he would call me and ask if I wanted soup. I mean, it was probably from a can, but like same, same. And then one day, I walked in, and I saw my coworker straddling his lap. Ran out of the room as if I had just seen a ghost. I knew that he was married with a wife and kids who all went to church and ate their Wheaties. But even more shocking, when I confided in my other coworker about what I'd seen, she fell to pieces. Turns out, she had also been having an affair with our boss for years. I know! I'm hardly the first woman to discover that some guy who seems so nice was actually the Duke of Douches in his personal life. Still, it was a defining moment for me, and soon I realized that maybe adults weren't these profound, all-knowing wizards after all. Maybe they weren't these supremely wise, enlightened beings. And maybe their opinions about life and what I should be doing with mine were, dare I say it, fallible. Over time, it became overwhelmingly clear. Everyone really was just making it up as they went along. A mentor of mine who pronounced sci-fi like sky-fi quickly cemented this notion. The realization that no one actually knew what they were doing was terrifying. It's like you take out a mortgage for 30 years. No, you take it out. But it also emboldened me. If the rules were made up by some dude named Ted who had a quarter pounder for lunch and a dog named Wedgie, then they really didn't hold that much weight, did they? Who says my resume needs to be kept to one page? Who says that sitting at a desk for 8 hours is the responsible thing to do? Who says that happiness comes from settling down with a nice young man with a decent golf swing and a good-paying job? Not that good-paying jobs aren't delicious, they are extra delicious, but I couldn't help but feel like there had to be so much more to life than a 401k and a crockpot full of ham. Truth is, I'd always imagined that there was this high and mighty committee of true and actual greatness, if you will, the universal they bestowing us with this series of carefully crafted guidelines according to what was best for humanity. It's sort of like the USDA when they tell you to eat your greens, I'd always just assume that the collective was
sample complete. Ready to continue?